Hello, I'm Trevor Dan. It's time to assemble some more object-based audio into a linear stream called a podcast.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics. Innovative solutions for creative radio people.
Yes, I've been at Radio TechCon, the conference for engineers and techies where the future is revealed. Virtual studios, indestructible metadata, broadcasts from moving trains, binaural drama. It's all possible. And most of it's happening already. TechCon has risen phoenix-like from the ruins of what I'm sure they'd call Radio Academy 1.0, and it was organised by the producer, journalist and technical consultant Anne Charles with her two colleagues from TBC Media. After the conference at the Arts Theatre in London, I met up with Anne and a couple of her former BBC colleagues. So, Dave Walters, what did you learn today at Radio TechCon?
So we're looking at how we make radio. So radio is a really linear process, and it's about how storytelling works. You tell one story after another, and that's how it's always been, and probably for some time that's how it's going to be. But how we translate that and make it fit for the internet is a really interesting question. How do you take those long stories and all of those different bits of content and potentially take them apart so you can tell the story more quickly or in a more compressed time manner, or know what's going on in those stories so we can make them searchable? So what we're talking about today is a project that we've got where we're building a pilot studio to look and feel like a linear radio station. So people can go in and they can just operate the radio and that's just fine. But actually, under the hood, it's a completely software-driven process. So every time you open and close a fader, an audio object is created, and we can put all the metadata around the object so we can compare it to the script, we can run it off and do a speech-to-text conversion on it to make it searchable, we can figure out exactly where in time that was. So if you need a really clean bit of audio to clip and put on the internet or to search and reuse perhaps somewhere else, then that's the software platform that we're really trying to develop and test. And one of the key things that we really want to get out of this, and the pilot work that we're doing at the moment hopefully will lead to, is a set of standards around how object-based audio in a radio production environment will work. Because once we can do that, manufacturers can go off and start building the equipment that we need, and they can all talk to each other. So rather than it being a bespoke system that is incredibly difficult to support or is just with one provider, we get a marketplace where all of our radio colleagues across the industry can go and get a bit of this and a bit of that, and my system will talk to your system, will talk to whatever it is, and hopefully a new way of thinking about how we make radio.
One of the things that came out of this for me was that in the old days, if I may say that, the creatives went to the engineers and said, is this possible? Nowadays, it seems to me that the techies are saying, I bet you've never thought of what you could do if we invent one of these, or if we make one of these kind of systems. Do you feel like engineering, as we used to call it, is getting actually more creative?
I think it's a bit of both. So I think that our creative colleagues, particularly from the online and the internet sides, are going, what if we could do this? What if we could do that? But where we are right now with our production tools is it's really linear. So can we go and do this? Someone needs to sit down with a WAV file that we've already created and spend a whole bunch of time just perfecting that edit here to take out that bit of song before the audio started or whatever it would be. And I think what we're trying to do now is offer a set of tools where all of those component bits of the program are unique and clean and separate. And we can then sit down with the creative guys and go, hey, you know when you said, could we do this? And we've got this thing now. And because it's in software, if you can think it, you can code it. So if you can think, I'd like this bit of audio from here and from over there and swap that jingle out with a different jingle or compress, whatever that would be, the software platforms we have now will allow a lot of those new ideas. Whereas before, with that linear thing where we just deliver you a one-hour WAV file, good luck, guys. I think that's the thing we're bringing. It's that new opportunity for those creative opportunities we've not found yet.
I was just talking to Phil Critchlow from TBI, who's done these very big projects for commercial radio and for the BBC. And we were both saying it's interesting that still you can learn radio at a university, but never be taught any of the first principles of sound.
Oh, it's very true. And you know, part of the work that we're doing peculiarly will allow us to fix that in the edit. So, you know, at a very high level, you can imagine that if you go and make a radio program right now, if you get the fade wrong, it's too late, right? We've done it. But kind of imagine what we're doing is we're delivering that entire radio program in its entire component part. It's a bit like a Pro Tools session where you can see all of those different bits of audio. And so after the fact, you can go, actually, that fade wasn't great. We can go and correct it. We can go and fix it. And I think that's a real thing. I think the guys who are coming out of university have still got those amazing storytelling capabilities, which is what it's all about. All we've ever done is sang songs and tell stories. And it used to be around campfires, and then it was in a studio that went to many thousands of people all at the same time. And now I think we've got that opportunity to take those stories and those songs and to be able to edit them in different ways that is more suited to a particular community at a different time because they're interested in a certain topic, and we've got that in an archive somewhere and you can draw that out.
And what about that guy who was talking about using mobile phones and studios in the cloud and broadcasting to refugee camps in Lebanon? This is just taking it even a further step.
It really is, and this is where technology becomes amazing, right? Because you've got completely new audiences in new spaces, and for them, I don't think it's really about new audiences in new spaces. It's doing a micro public service, and actually the thing they were talking about in refugee camps becomes a macro public service, but you can scale that, right? So if you've got a small arts festival or whatever it is, you can just spin up instantly this small community of information and communication and storytelling that's relevant in a moment to this really small space, and then the next day go off and deliver healthcare to an entire nation that's in desperate need. That's a great opportunity.
It's come a long way from cable bashing, Dave.
You know, there's never been so much wire used in this wireless world we live in.
Dave Walters, thank you.
Cheers.
Rupert Brun, lovely to see you back at TechCon. What did you learn today?
I learned a lot about the way we hear things. There was a brilliant presentation on machine listening and how machines learn, like Siri and Alexa. And it was a talk on how humans hear and how we might be able to use that. And there was a huge amount about the fundamentals of how we hear stuff that I just hadn't understood. And for radio, obviously, that's really, really important. So that was fantastic.
It's great, isn't it? I was just saying to Dave Walters how the technology and the invention is now driving the creative innovation.
Yeah, I think to some extent in radio it always has. But perhaps there's been a bit of a lull of that in the last couple of few years. But now we're moving into the use of audio objects, or at least the potential to use them, and the creative potential for those to make content that will work for different people in different circumstances on different platforms without a lot of work from the production team is going to be fantastic. Once the production teams get their heads around what that can mean, which we as engineers can't tell them, we can only say, this is what's possible. You decide what you want to do with it. Once they get their heads around that, I think it's going to be a whole era of new creativity.
Do you, as a listener, Rupert, hear a lot of creative radio, or do you sometimes despair about what we do with the great creative tools you engineers give us?
I do get frustrated at the amount of sort of formulaic radio we get these days. I understand the reasons why. There's commercial drivers, we've all got costs. But I do think it was very frustrating in the many years I worked at the BBC working on technical innovations. I very seldom had production staff come to me and say, look, what I want to be able to do is this, that would make me think, oh crikey, how on earth are we going to do that? Most of the time it was the technology team going to the production teams and saying, did you know you could do this and this and this, and trying to persuade them to give it a go. And I do understand everybody's got tomorrow's program to make. They've not got a lot of money, they've got those time pressures. But yeah, it can be frustrating at times.
Thank you, Rupert.
Cheers, Trevor.
Well, she's here. It's at Sparky Ann C. And Charles, you organised this. You pretty much paid for it. So congratulations. It was a great event.
Thank you very much. So it was me and Aradna Tayal and Andy Buckingham who kind of started the quest to make sure that we carried on with TechCon, because we'd all been involved for years as volunteers when it was part of the Radio Academy, and it was such a special vibe, so many wonderful people who were involved, and we understood that the Academy couldn't keep running it because, you know, you can't afford to do everything. So stupidly we thought, well, we'll try and save it. And you know what it's like at kind of 3 o'clock in the morning when you've been working for weeks and weeks and weeks and you're like, whose silly idea was that?
Oh,
and you
realise
it was mine. Yeah. But you know, so the downside of everything, I hope seeming to have gone really well, is then you're going, oh, I have to do it next year now.
It seemed to me to be full of sessions that should have been heard by a broader audience, not just the tech community. There were some really fascinating observations about how you make radio, how you make sound.
Absolutely, and I think the thing that everyone here gets is that technology and production are really close together, and you have to understand technology to make great programmes, and that's one of the things that I, as a producer turned broadcast engineer, bang on about all the time. I'd love to see more people with a production background coming. I am quite clear that the they're always welcome and I want them here. But our target audience are the people for whom technology is their job, you know, and their living as well. I had one person say, oh, the problem is the name's TechCon and if people are put off by the word technology. And I'm like, well, if they're put off by the word technology, this isn't the event for them and that's cool. But I hope that then I don't want people to be put off by the word technology because I want them to understand how creative that field is. And, you know, we've had speakers, my colleague from South Sudan came over, solved an amazing problem, got a station on air, completely powered by the sun, and that's been working since April. We had Phil Critchlow at the end talking about, I mean, talk about a TechCon wet dream, radio and trains. If we know our audience, we know it well. And he did a, you know, amazing talk about how they overcame the technical challenges to do a live outside broadcast from a train. Yes, I hope that is interesting to a wider audience than your stereotypical engineer.
You know. I wanted to ask you a couple of things about the whole business of being engineer and an engineer. It won't have escaped listeners that you are a female person.
As Dave Waters calls it, a lady engineer.
A sound woman, if there ever was one. You wrote a blog recently where you talked about not only should we be more welcoming of women in this business, but that we should stop as creative production people pretending that we don't get it or being kind of proud of the fact that we can't do maths or we can't do science.
Yeah, I mean, I've been saying that since I started out. I'm kind of like, radio is an inherently technical job. We are, we have this joy that we're able to be completely in control of the production process most of the time. You can have a microphone, don't talk about the equipment, but as you've got now, and you're going to go away and edit this and make the thing that you hear in your head. And so in order to do that, the more you understand about how that recording's happening, the easier your job is going to be. And so people who come in and say, oh, I don't understand technology, it's too difficult, I'm kind of like, well, radio really isn't the job for you, you know. And it's not as hard as people make out. It's just asking questions and solving problems. And if you're a reporter or a presenter or a producer, you do that every single day already.
And what about getting more women in the business? Because, you know, I guess in the old days when it was about, you know, heavy lifting and oily fingers, it wasn't a job they wanted. But I don't see why we can't. I mean, let me just say, there were a lot of women in the audience today.
Oh, Aradhana and I came in to Radio TechCon through Sound Women originally because, I mean, you know, the team, I think, had been historically quite male because most of the engineers are men. And Dave had been involved at the time and he asked Sound Women to send some reps, and unluckily or luckily for everyone, we were two of them. And so, yeah, I mean, having more women attend conferences in general, not just technology conferences, but in general, is important to me because I think often, you know, women can sort of hang back and they're not in that room and in that space. And also having more women on stage. I have to say, in terms of technology and engineering, we worked so hard to get more women on stage. I would like to have had more, but literally in the UK, there are not many people who were working. And when I'm talking about engineering as well, I'm not really talking about sound engineering, I'm talking about broadcast engineering, which is a different field. It's a multi-pronged approach. It's having women in the job and men who are very supportive and lovely and having those role models for young girls growing up. And it's also encouraging women who are already in radio that actually the technical side, they already know how to do. Because if you work in a studio, you've probably worked out, you know, if your desk has gone wrong one day or something's broken, you've already, especially if you're in local radio, community radio, hospital radio, where a lot of us started out, you'll have had those days, right, where it's all gone wrong and you've just had to cope because it's a Sunday afternoon and no one's on shift and you kind of got there. That's engineering, you know. I mean, obviously the other side of engineering is preventing those problems from starting, but I think what everyone here gets is that it's not this other world that's completely different and inaccessible. We all see the links and we're desperate to... If you show an engineer half an ounce of interest, they will love you forever. Go and buy them a cup of tea and, you know, bring them some biscuits and you've got friends for life.
Well, congratulations, Anne. Thanks for talking to Radio today. It was a great event and here's the next year.
Thank you very much. I think I better have a drink now.
I might buy it.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
David Lloyd, who expertly compared TechCon, will be here soon with his radio moments. But it's time for Radio Today News now with Stuart Clarkson.
Yes, thank you, Trevor. And this week, Ofcom's latest digital radio report is out. Among the highlights, it tells us there are now 339 stations broadcasting on DAB in the UK. That's up 56 in the last 12 months. And that doesn't include the 100-plus stations on the mini-muxes currently running as part of the Ofcom small-scale DAB trial. Now, the report highlights that in six areas of the the UK, digital radio listening now exceeds 50%. That's Sussex, Berkshire and Northampshire, Swindon and West Wiltshire, London, Gloucestershire and Hearts, Beds and Bucks. And on digital radio set ownership, interesting figures, another 1.6 million sold in the last year, but still around two-thirds of radio sets that are sold don't have DAB in them. And of those people who don't have a DAB radio in their house, 58% said they were unlikely to buy one in the next year. I think that's the big challenge for the industry as we head towards switchover in the coming years. Elsewhere this week, Radio 2 and 6 Music won't have a controller. BBC Director of Radio Bob Shennan's decided not to replace himself. Instead, Lewis Carney becomes head of Radio 2 and Paul Rogers head of 6 Music. They'll both report to Bob, as will head of production Lorna Clark and head of music Jeff Smith. Both of those do roles for both stations. Ofcom's announced details of the 11 groups who've applied for medium wave only community radio licences. The regulators considering applications from all over the country, excluding London. They include AM Rock in Kent, RKM in Glasgow and Radio Caroline, which will be on the air in Suffolk. 21 groups, meanwhile, have applied for FM community licences in London and other areas within the M25. They include stations for Wandsworth, Harrow, Greenwich, Newham, Hounslow and many other places. You can see the full list of applicants at radiotoday.co.uk. Bowers appointed a new station director for Free Radio in the West Midlands. Godfrey Moger joins from newspaper group Trinity Mirror. Meanwhile, the former Orion chief exec Adrian Searle has a new job this week. He's taking over from Gervase Slowey as CEO of Communicore Group, based in Dublin. The group owns 98FM, News Talk, Today FM and two spin stations in Ireland and operates separately to Communicore UK. Trevor Nelson's moving to weekends only on One Extra. His weekday morning show is being taken over by Ace from the new year. Trevor moves to 4 till 7 on Saturday and Sunday afternoons. He also does the Soul Show still on Radio 2 on Saturday nights from 8. Ace's weekend breakfast slot on One Extra will be done by Mim Sheikh from the BBC Asian Network. Another change sees DJ Target move to evenings Monday to Friday, replacing Mr. Jam. And that's it for this week. From radiotoday.co.uk, I'm Stuart Clarkson.
Your best content, shareable and discoverable on any platform. Oasis from Broadcast Bionics helps you build a closer relationship with your listeners. Welcome to the social studio at bionics.co.uk.
It's 10 years this week since we lost Alan Freeman.
Oh, what a sound cue. I hope those sounds come along in multitude in 1971. On the Fontana label there, we had Black Sabbath and Evil Woman. Why didn't it happen? Well, because I think because we had the album out long before the single, and possibly there wasn't a volume of sale for the single. Black Sabbath came along with Paranoid, and how they smashed those charts wide open. And fellas, we're looking forward to plenty of product in 1971. Keep it coming and keep it coming in that style. And I think that if ever the pickers of pop missed a commercial single to smash into the top 20, it was this one.
Farewell, Alan Freeman, who died this week 10 years ago. 9 years ago now, and XFM is spreading to South Wales.
As the great man said, this is my truth. Tell me yours. Let this music speed through the geography, crisscross the rain-ravaged rivers and wild winds of our tiny, massive country.
Just brilliant production. XFM arriving in South Wales this week in 2007. It's 75 years this week since Wilfred Pickles joined the BBC. He was said to be the first newsreader not to speak with received pronunciation.
This is the BBC Home and Forces programme. Here's the news. This is Wilfred Pickles reading it. This morning's news of Japan's aggression is of successful countermeasures against the invasion of Malaya. There have also been reports of enemy...
I think that's what passed for a Yorkshire accent on the BBC in those days. He was to host one of the first cash game shows on radio. It was called Have a Go, attracting an audience of 20 million listeners. And if you went on it, you could earn £1, 19 shillings and 11 pence by sharing your intimate secrets.
And here is Wilfred Pickles.
Gentlemen of Ramsbottom, how do? How are you?
Wilfred Pickles, that was. Just ask your grandma about him. He joined the BBC this week in 1941. Happy 5th anniversary to this digital station.
You know, you had everything. You had glam rock, punk rock, disco. Such a mad decade. You had, like, the Goombay dance band with the Sex Pistols. That's how music should be. Confusing, hectic, eclectic. So I'm a real 70s freak.
Sex Pistols, Ramones, all that brilliant punk music that was around in the 70s. A radio station all about that is only a good thing.
Absolute 70s, which launched this week in 2011. Clive Dickens was in charge back then. And he said the beauty of that format lies in its simplicity. It's 30 years since Northants 96 launched. It had been part of Hereward, and the county council leader was all in favour. He was just about thinking it was going to save the local economy.
The fact that we've got the M1 transmitting through the middle of the county, many people pick up the local radio when they're going through Northamptonshire. And I think anything we can do to advertise the benefits of industry coming to Northamptonshire, communications, availability of good labour, must be to the advantage of the people of the county as a whole. Well, I'm most delighted to welcome you here to Northants.
So what was the station going to be all about?
I like listening to as much music as possible. I love music.
Anything decent, you know, music. That's the one, you know, not really bothered about commentaries, that sort of thing, you know.
Basically music, different sorts, a bit more metal, I think. I like local news, but music mainly.
Music.
Music, I
like music.
Oh, I like to listen to music in the morning, first thing in the morning.
Basically music.
Music, 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 yes. I don't think that's quite what the county councillor had in mind. Who was head of music? Music, music?
Music.
It was Tom Hardy.
Quite simply, the best of the old, the best of the new, melodic, quality, contemporary hits, backed up with some of the classics from the past. Something for everyone. All of your favourites, and all brought to you in the highest quality FM stereo.
Happy birthday, Northants 96, born this week in 1986. Here's a lesson maybe for DAB migration. This week in 77, the Times reported that radio manufacturers were expecting a 25% surge in set sales the following year. And that came just after the BBC announced that some of its stations were to move frequencies, making some of those stations unavailable on some sets.
Radio 2. 693 or 909 kilohertz. That's 433 or 330 meters medium wave.
23 years ago this week saw the end of The Voice of Peace, broadcasting from a ship anchored off Tel Aviv. The aim of the station had been to communicate peaceful coexistence to a volatile Middle East. Many of the presenters came from Britain.
1 5 4 0.
You're listening to the Voice of Peace. I would like this evening to have a few words with all our listeners wherever you are, from Cyprus, across the borders of Israel, and particularly to the people in Egypt, and to share with them the sorrow that they all feel at their loss of their great leader. This was a very sad month in the history of the Middle East when two giants fell. And I'm speaking in Egypt of President Sadat and in Israel of Moshe Dayan.
The Voice of Peace, which closed this week in 93 after 20 years. Happy birthday to this chap.
10cc and life is a minestrone. Well, it's full of surprises, that's for sure. That was a two in a row spot. Before that, you heard Johnny Mathis and Denise Williams and You're All I Need to Get By. Well, the reason we had two records in a row, which we don't normally do on the road shows, because while those were playing, I was at the back of the caravan having an injection, an antihistamine or histamine injection. I don't know exactly what the medical term is, but my grateful thanks to Dr. Eames. I must confess, Dr. Eames was in the audience here today, and I must confess that...
Yes, the voice of Paul Burnett and the stinging tale that was actually told in Johnny Beerling's book about that roadshow adventure. Happy birthday to Paul Burnett from Luxie to the Pirates and Radio 1. He's 73 this week. So with Harriet Scott leaving Heart 4 years ago...
Hi, I'm Harriet. Welcome to Hampstead Heath, my favourite part of London.
The Grand Old Opry beginning 91 years ago...
And the first number on this worldwide programme on the Grand Old Opry...
And the first local digital multiplex licence advertised for Birmingham by the Radio Authority 18 years ago... Those are this week's Radio Moments.
Radio Moments.
Thank you, David. Also, Stu Clarkson, researcher Hayley Hayes, and everyone at TechCon. Next week, we'll have the second of our new monthly round tables with a panel of expert fat chewers and breeze shooters. Do join me for that if you can. This has been a TDC production. I've been Trevor Dan. Ta-da!
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creating and distributing clever software for radio.